let us first offer our reverential and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us and hold our hand and guide us so that we, every single day of our lives, take one more step to cleanse ourselves so that eventually we become as pure as you want us to be. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today, we will learn a multi-faith bhajan, and the first line of the bhajan goes like this.
Guru Nanak Ji Ki Jai Jai Kar.
So that is the bhajan in the language Hindi, and as always, let's get familiar with the lyrics and then move on to the raga, the tala, and then the meaning of its every word, and in the end we will listen to Bhagwan's instructions about bhajan singing in the voices of his students. So here are the lyrics to get started.
Guru Nanak Ji Ki Jai Jai Kar. Jo Bole So Hoye Nihal. Allah Sai Lelo Salam. Maula Sai Lelo Salam. Salam Salam Lakhon Salam. Yeshu Pita Prabhu Sai Ram. Buddha Zaurashtra Mahavir Nam. Salam Salam Lakhon Salam. Salam Salam Mera Salam.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning the tune of this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow every line. Please join him so that you too can grasp the tune of this bhajan easily.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale G sharp Pancham. Guru Nanak Ji Ki Jai Jai Kar.
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 Jo Bole So Hoye Nihal.
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 Allah Sai Le Lo Salam.
Allah Sai Le Lo Salam.
Maula Sai Le Lo Salam.
Maula Sai Le Lo Salam.
Salam Salam Lakhon Salam.
Salam Salam Lakhon Salam.
Salam Salam Mera Salam.
Salam Salam Mera Salam.
Yeshu Pita Prabhu Sai Ram.
Yeshu Pita Prabhu Sai Ram.
Buddha Zaurashtra Mahavir Nam.
Buddha Zaurashtra Mahavir Nam.
Salam Salam Lakhon Salam.
Salam Salam Lakhon Salam.
سلام سلام میرا سلام
سلام سلام میرا سلام
سلام سلام میرا سلام
سلام سلام میرا سلام
گرو نانک جی کی جے جےکار.
So that is the tune of the bhajan in the voices of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And now let's learn a little more about the swaras that make this bhajan. Anirudh is here with us in the studios. Tell us, Anirudh, what is the raga behind this composition?
Saram Vishwa, this composition is a very popular tune. I mean, the raga of this bhajan is Shankaravarnam.
Yes.
In Hindustani, it is called
Bilaval.
Yeah. Exactly.
Familiar raga.
Yeah, familiar raga. Where you have all the seven notes.
Yes.
Shuddh. All notes are shuddh.
Yes.
Sare ga ma pa dha ni sa, sa ni dha pa ma ga di sa.
Yes.
So usually in the beginning of learning, yes, Hindustani or Carnatic, they may choose between two, three ragas. One is Shankaravarnam.
Yes.
And the other one is Maya Mala Gola in Carnatic and Bhairav in the Hindustani.
Yes. One of the very easiest ragas to begin with.
Yeah, easiest ragas. And all notes are shuddh.
Yes.
And there are no complications, nothing.
Yes. Very simple bhajans. Actually, bhajans based on
so
this raga.
So many bhajans are there in this raga. So
easy
many
to pick up, right?
Yeah. Even so many songs, if you see movie songs, so many are there.
Yes.
And many songs are there in this raga.
So, would you like to just give a small demonstration of this raga? I mean, people are familiar. Maybe you can just give a very small demonstration and then we'll move on to the swaras for every line of this
yeah,
bhajan.
Yeah, sure.
Na 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 na.
That was really powerful.
It is a very happy raga. I mean,
yes,
it's all major notes, no? So there is
yes,
no emotion, I mean, sad feeling, nothing is there. It's a very
yeah,
happy and major
yeah,
raga.
All the major notes. Wonderful. So let's go on. Guru Nanak ji also is such a sort of vibrant bhajan.
Yeah.
Yeah, always conveying so much of joy. Okay, let's go on to every line of this bhajan, Anirudh.
Sure. And when we do this line by line,
yeah,
maybe in one line, there's a small deviation. Both the knees are used. Nishadam.
Okay, okay.
So, in that place alone, if you want me to say the raga, it is Hari Kamboji.
Okay, I think when we come to that line, please point
definitely
that out.
Yeah,
so that
sure,
we'll get a clear idea.
Sure.
So, Arvind Sai is here to follow as you sing every line.
So, we'll start with the first line.
Sure.
Guru Nanak Ji Ki Jai Jai Kaar. Sari re sari ga ga ri ri ga re sa.
Sari re sari ga ga ri ri ga re sa.
The next line also follow the same swara pattern.
Yeah.
So the line is
Jo bole so hoye nihal. Sari re sari ga ga ri ri ga re sa.
So we'll do the next line.
Yeah.
Allah Sai le lo salam. Pa 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 dha pa magari.
Pa 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 dha pa magari.
So the next line, Mola Sai le lo salam. also follows the same tune and same swaras. So we'll go to the next line.
Yeah.
Salam, salam, lakho salam, sare saga re ga re sa.
Sare saga re ga re sa.
Now in the next line, you have both the nishadams coming.
Okay.
Ni one and ni two.
Yeshu pita prabhu sai ram.
That's the line.
Sa sari ni pa pa ma pa ni sa.
So if you see,
sa sari ni,
that is ni one.
Yes. Ni komal
ni.
Ma pa ni,
that is ni two.
Yes.
Sa sari ni pa pa ma pa ni sa.
Sa sari ni pa pa ma pa ni sa.
And this rag where the other nishadam comes is called Harikamboji.
Okay.
In the Carnatic music.
Fine.
And all the other lines follow the Shankarabarnam.
Yes.
So we'll do the next line.
Yeah.
Buddha Zoroastra Mahavirna Sare Saga Re Ga Re Sa.
Sare Saga Re Ga Re Sa.
The next three lines follow the same tune and swaras as we have sung before.
Yeah.
So the lines are
Allah Sai Le Lo Salam, Mola Sai Le Lo Salam.
The swaras are
Pa 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 Dha Pa Magari.
For both the lines. And the last line is
Salam Salam Lakho Salam.
The second time of this last line has a small variation.
Salam Salam Mera Salam Sare Sare Papa Gari Gari Sa.
Sare Sare Papa Gari Gari Sa.
Okay, I think so. That's gives us the idea of the swaras. And you were mentioning before, Anirudh, there are so many bhajans in this raga, Shankarabharanam, yeah, and in Harikamboji. So maybe you can give us some demonstrations of Shankarabharanam.
There are plenty
with
of bhajans in Shankarabharanam. The first bhajan which comes to my mind is
Shambho Mahadeva Shiva Shambho Mahadeva.
This bhajan is all our major notes and
yes,
beautiful bhajan.
Yes.
Then I think you have
Bhajaman Govinda Gopala.
Yes.
Govinda Gopala.
That bhajan. All these are Shankarabarnam.
Panduranga Vithala. Is that?
Yeah, that bhajan belongs to Harikamboji.
Okay.
Where you have
Panduranga Ni.
Okay.
Vithala.
Other notes will be all the Shankarabarnam family, but the Ni, yes, will be of Harikamboji.
Yes.
And you have
Bada Chitta Chora Brindavana Sanchara.
That is also in Harikamboji.
Oh, okay. Plenty of bhajans and many are short and sweet, vibrant bhajans.
Yes. They are happy and yes, joyous bhajans.
Wonderful. So, shall we move on to the beat?
Sure. The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat.
Yeah.
And the metronome is 100 beats per minute.
Okay.
Little faster.
Yeah.
The count is 1. 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Guru Nanak Ji Ki Jai Jai Ka.
Guru Nanak Ji Ki Jai Jai Ka.
Jo Bole So Hoye Nihar.
Jo Bole So Hoye Nihar.
Generally, this is sung towards the fag end of the bhajan session, right?
Yeah, because the tempo of the bhajan is little higher than
higher, yes,
other slow bhajans.
Thank you very much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Thank you, Vishu.
Salam.
We are now done with the lyrics, the tune, the raga and the tala of this bhajan. So let us next move on to the most vital aspect of bhajan singing, bhava, or the feeling with which we must offer every bhajan to the Lord. Once Bhagwan said, if there is no bhava, there is no baba. We cannot attain Bhagwan if there is no feeling in our rendering. And to develop the correct bhava, we must understand the meaning of every word in the bhajan. So let's start with the first line.
Guru Nanak Ji ki jai jai kar.
Here the first word refers to Guru Nanak, the first among the 10 gurus responsible for founding the Sikh religion. Here guru means preceptor and Nanak comes from Na and Anak, meaning nothing but one. The suffix Ji is added to denote respect. Guru Nanak was born as a Hindu. He had an older sister named Nanaki and his parents named him Nanak after her. After he became a guru, the village became known as Nankana Sahib. This is situated near Lahore, which is a part of present-day Pakistan. Guru Nanak travelled widely and preached the oneness of God and promoted unity among all religions. His millions of followers included people who were Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, and even those with no previous religious leanings. On his demise in 1539, there was a tussle between his Muslim and Hindu devotees as to who should claim his body for the burial and other rites. It is recorded that the two parties agreed on a simple formula: to place a row of fresh flowers on either side of his body, one to belong to the Muslims and the other to the Hindus. And whichever side the flowers remain fresher the next day, the party on that side would be eligible to claim his remains. And what they saw the next morning stunned them. The flowers on both the sides were as fresh as ever, but the body of Guru Nanak Ji had disappeared. It had totally become one with the elements with no trace left. That is how Guru Nanak attained Nirvana and left everyone in mystery. Guru Nanak advised his followers to seek fulfillment in life by chanting the divine name. This is the reason why all Sikhs give highest priority to chanting of God's name, and that is why in the Golden Temple at Amritsar, the holy place of the Sikhs, the divine name is chanted constantly. In fact, it is Guru Nanak who first started and propagated the practice of community singing. He did this to promote unity among people of different faiths. In a discourse in March 1992, Baba said, "Samyak Kirtanam Sankirtanam," that is, congregational singing of bhajans is the best form of bhajans. There is a big difference, Swami said, between kirtanam and sankirtanam. Kirtanam is an individual affair. It is singing by an individual for the fulfillment of his or her prayers. On the other hand, sankirtanam aims at the well-being of the whole universe. This is also described as samajika bhajans or community singing. And Baba went on to add, this method of singing bhajans was first initiated by Guru Nanak, the founder of Sikhism. On the day of the Akhand Bhajan in 1986, Baba gave a discourse in which he said, Guru Nanak believed that through community singing, the common man can ennoble his life and experience the presence of the divine in everyone. And that is what he propagated all his life. Let's move on to the next word, which is ki, which means to. The word jai jaikar means proclamation of victory. So in this line, Guru Nanak Ji ki jai jaikar, we proclaim victory to the great teacher Nanak, who exhorted one and all to chant the Lord's name and brought unity among different faiths. Let's move on to the next line.
Jo bole so hoye nihal.
This line is in the language Punjabi. Sikhism is most prevalent in the Indian state of Punjab. And this line, Jo bole so nihal, means whoever utters or chants shall be fulfilled. Bole so nihal is part of the traditional greeting used by Sikhs. It is also a call to action or duty. In fact, the Sikh slogan or the Sikh Jaikara, the shout of triumph and victory, is this: Bole Sonihal Sat Sri Akal. Sat Sri Akal means hail the ultimate Almighty who is timeless and eternal. Therefore, Bole Sonihal is one of those powerful phrases associated with this religion, Sikhism, telling us that whoever utters this shall find fulfillment in life. Let's move on to the third line.
Allah Sai Lelo Salam.
Here the first word is Allah, which is the name that Muslims use to adore the formless God. Baba explains that in the word Allah, A stands for Atma or the eternal soul, and La stands for Layam or merging. Therefore, invoking Allah means merging in the Atma, the eternal soul. Baba has also explained that Allah means all high or above all, the one supreme in whom contains everything in the universe. The second word is Sai, referring to our beloved Bhagwan. One meaning of this word, as explained by Professor Kasturi, is master or king. Sa in Sai means divine. The experience of Mr. Faiz Mohammed, a long-time devotee of Bhagwan hailing from Trinidad and Tobago, is worth mentioning here. He is a Muslim by birth, and from his young age, he was inclined towards spirituality. In fact, he read spiritual texts not only of his own religion but of other religions as well. At the age of 17, when he completed secondary school, he was unsure of what to do next. He took a small break to figure out his life. Since he had free time, he used to visit the mosque in his village frequently and spend hours in meditation. At this point, Mr. Faiz met the son of the Imam who conducted the prayers at the mosque. This person had similar thoughts as Mr. Faiz, and they had long spiritual discussions. One day, Baba's name came up in their discussions, and the gentleman gave Mr. Faiz the book Satyam Shivam Sundaram, and he asked him to read it. Mr. Faiz inquired who the person on the cover was, and when the other person said that it is God in human form, Faiz was bewildered. He said, "You must be mad. This man with bushy afro hair is God?" But the other person looked at him very seriously and said, "Faiz, read it, but read it with an open mind." And so Faiz started reading the book the same day, and he just could not put it down. The book had a tremendous impact on him. He found that all the spiritual books he had read before and the universal thinking that he had developed were in perfect harmony with the teachings of Bhagwan Baba. In fact, he says, "I felt ecstatic at this fantastic universal and loving message of Bhagwan. It enticed me and encouraged me to go deeper into the teachings and mission of Sri Satya Sai. He had captured my heart." But he had also created a conflict when he said, "I am God, all names and forms are mine." This was difficult for me to reconcile with. As a Muslim, I always knew God as formless, and now I wondered how to accept the formless Allah as Sai Baba. But as I delved deeper, I saw clearly what he had said: "I am God, but you too are God. The difference is that I know that I am God, but you do not." This is what Baba had said, but nevertheless, this conflict in my mind was so strong. The confusion and frustration lasted for weeks and months. It gave me sleepless nights, and I prayed to Almighty Allah to show me the way, to show me the truth. And then something beautiful dawned on me. If Allah is omnipotent, omnipresent and omniscient, can He not assume a human form? This question removed quite a bit of doubts from my mind, though not completely. In 1981, a group of people from Trinidad and Tobago were coming to Prashantinilam to attend the first overseas conference of Balvikas Gurus, and I offered my name as a delegate. With Bhagwan's will and grace, I spent one full month at Puttaparthi. It was during this trip, after observing Swami materialize things, interact with devotees, hearing him speak and feeling the energy of his presence, I came to believe in Sai Baba as someone really spiritual and divine. At the end of that trip, all my doubts had vanished. This is the story of someone who is a Muslim by birth but believed in the formless and abstract God and later completely reconciled to God walking on earth in flesh and blood. So that is Allah Sai. Moving on, the third word is Lelo, meaning accept, and the fourth word is Salam, meaning salutation. So in this line, Allah Sai, Lelo Salam, we call out to the formless God who assumed a human form as Lord Sai to accept our loving salutations. We move on to the fourth line.
Mala Sai Lelo Salam.
The only word new here is Mawla, and this is synonymous with Allah and it means master or protector. So in this line we again call out to the protector to accept our prayerful salutations. Let's move on now to the fifth line.
Salam, salam, lakho salam.
The only new word here is lakho, which means million. Let's dwell upon this inner meaning of the word salam, which is often used by Muslims as a form of greeting or salutation. Baba says, Sa refers to Sat, that is the Lord who is the embodiment of truth, awareness and bliss, Sat Chit Ananda. And La means Layam or merchants. Thus Salam means merging in the Supreme who is also the embodiment of truth and bliss. On another occasion, Baba said, Sa signifies the combined expression of Salokyam, Sarupyam, Samipyam and Sayujyam. That is, seeing the divine, having the vision of the form of the divine, nearing the divine, enjoying his proximity and finally merging in the divine. When all these four expressions are combined and merged into one, which is La, signifying merger, then you have Salam, merging of the many in the one. To further amplify this point, Swami quotes Upanishads which declare Sarva Jiva Namaskaram Keshavam Pratikachati, which means our salutations to any living being reaches ultimately the Lord. That is, if you salute anyone, any living being, we are indeed saluting the Lord Himself because the Lord resides in all beings. Baba says, while saluting a person, you must feel that you are saluting the Lord in the temple of heart, for the body is a moving temple. Instead of worshipping the Lord in a physical temple made of brick and stone, worship the Lord in the living temple of the human body. We must be actuated by the feeling that our fellow beings are in fact embodiments of God. Swami further warns us that we must be ever aware that our irreverence to fellow human beings is equal to irreverence towards God. Sarva jiva tiraskaram keshavam pratigacchati. This means that whenever we hurt or criticize another person, it is as good as hurting God. Hence, the word salam teaches us not only to offer our loving salutations to God, but also to respect every being and not inflict any kind of pain on anyone. So in this line, Salam, Salam, Lakhon Salam, we pay a million salutations to the Almighty God who teaches us to adore not only Him but to see Him in all. Let's move on to the sixth line.
Salam, Salam, Mera Salam.
The new word here is Mera, meaning my. So in this line we say, O Lord Almighty, accept my salutations. We now come to the seventh line.
Eshu Pita Prabhu Sahiram.
The first word here is Yeshu, referring to Jesus Christ. Literally, Baba says Ye means one and Su means good. So Yesu means there is only one good, indicating the one God who is omnipresent, omniscient and omnipresent. In his Christmas Day discourse in 1978, Baba revealed the original name of Jesus was Isa, which when repeated, Isa, 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 is Sai. Isa and Sai both mean Ishvara or God, the eternal absolute. Baba further added, at the Tibetan monastery where Isa spent some years, in the Tibetan manuscript his name is written as Isa, which means the Lord of all living beings. The second word is Pita, meaning father. The phrase Yeshu Pita is often used to denote Lord Jesus. The third word is Prabhu, meaning God. The other word is Sai Ram, referring to our own Lord Sai. So in this line, we hail Lord Sai as the one who is verily Jesus himself. Let's move on to the eighth line.
Buddha Zaurashtra Mahavir Naam.
Buddha refers to Gautama Buddha, the founder of Buddhism. Literally, Buddha means the enlightened one. The name given to Buddha at the time of his birth was Sarvartha Siddha or Siddhartha. His mother passed away soon after and he was brought up by his stepmother Gautami. She fostered him with boundless love, and so to perpetuate her name, he was called Gautama after Gautami. Baba says that Buddha is not a personal name but refers to anyone who is spiritually enlightened, mentally awakened, and who has realized the supreme truth. Such a person practices unity of thought, word and action and lives by what he preaches. He always performs right actions and speaks the truth. His heart is ever full of compassion and love, and he always remains in constant bliss and peace, unaffected by the vicissitudes of life. Swami says, when you take to the path of love, you too will become Buddha yourself. The second word is Zoroastra, referring to the prophet of Iran, who formally spread the religion of Zoroastrianism, one of the earliest religions of the world. He is also known to his followers as Zarathustra, coming from Zara meaning gold, and Ustra means light. So literally, his name means the one of golden light, the messenger of God. The third word is Mahavira, the founder of Jainism. Maha means great and Vira means the brave one. Baba explains that he was called so because he was able to control all his senses and become a Jinna, a term used by Jains meaning victor, the victorious one. The fourth word is Naam, meaning name. So in this line, we call out to the Almighty God by his various names, Buddha, Zoroastra, Mahavira. Let's move on to the ninth line.
Salam, salam, lakho salam.
This is a repeat of an earlier line where we offer a million salutations to God. Let's come to the last line.
Salam, salam, mera salam.
This too is a repeat of the earlier line, and here we say, O Lord, accept my million salutations, my obeisances to you. With that, dear listeners, we have grasped the meaning of each word of this bhajan to some extent at least. And let's now hear the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung in the mandir of Prashanti Nilayam by the students of Baba's University.
Guru Nanak ji ki jai jai kaar. Guru Nanak ji ki jai jai kaar. Jo bole so hoye nihar. Jo bole so hoye nihar. Allah Sai le lo salam.
Salam, 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 salam
प्रभु साई राम येशु पिता प्रभु साई राम बुद्ध चराश्र महावीर
नाम
बुद्ध चराश्र महावीर
नाम
सलाम सलाम लाखो
सलाम सलाम लाखो
सलाम सलाम मेरा सलाम बोले सो होए निहार अल्लाह साई ले लो
सलाम
मौला साई ले लो सलाम 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 लाखो सलाम 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 मेरा
सलाम
येशु पिता प्रभु साई राम दूत दुराश्र महावीर
And now in the last part of this program, here is an excerpt of a presentation made during the National Bhajan Workshop held in the Vrindavan Ashram in June 2013.
The second aspect of discipline is the discipline that we have while seated for bhajans. While we are sitting in bhajans and there are so many things over here, Swami used to absolutely not tolerate. Minimum movement. I can tell you, without naming the person, that I heard of this brother, during the bhajans, he just wanted to hear what is the shruti of the bhajan. He was not able to. So he just went close to the harmonium. Swami said he need not sing from now onwards. And for the rest of his career as a student, he never sang in mandir. Just because he moved his ear to the harmonium, so much so, Swami was so annoyed, he said, no need of harmonium also. Why you need harmonium? If that is what is going to distract you from your concentration on Swami, throw that thing off. We don't need tabla, we don't need harmonium. That is the amount of minimum movement only Swami is allowed to move, because only when he moves, it is beautiful. Anybody else moves, it's a distraction. Isn't it? When Swami sways, that's when the world sways. You sway, people will hit you from behind.
And talking about discipline, Swami would not tolerate any kind of chit-chatting there. It is not done. As Ameya was saying sometime back, that even if you are coming late, because of practice you come late, that is tolerated. Why Swami doesn't want us to come early and not do practice? We would sit there and chit-chat. That is the time before bhajan where we have to concentrate on the Lord. If you are not practicing bhajan, we are concentrating on the Lord. I started singing bhajans in my school days. So, as a small boy, we tend to be a little naughty, we tend to be a little talkative. So there were two other classmates of mine who started singing together. So three of us used to sing. And Swami had given us the opportunity, now realize, several years ago, realize how important and what a great opportunity it was. We would sit right in front of the throne, Swami's throne in the bhajan hall. But little boys as we were, we would chit-chat. We didn't know. We would chit-chat, we would laugh, come back from school, discuss what happened in the school, this teacher said this, this teacher said that, throw ink on each other, all kinds of childish things. We didn't know, and we would sing. And Swami was encouraging us. But this went on for quite some time. One evening, as usual, laughing, we walked into the bhajan hall, one of our senior brothers in the bhajan group said, from today onwards you sit outside. That was the end. Swami's instructions, no coming inside for bhajan. We were stopped from singing. This went on for about 3 or 4 months. And then after that, the warden then in the Prashantanilayam hostel, he called me and said, if I give you a good piece of news, what will you give? I said, sir, anything. He said, you must give your heart to Swami. I said, yes, sir. Then he said, Swami has permitted you to sing on Thursdays. So that is how I started singing back again on Thursdays. And in between other weekdays, Swami would suddenly say, okay, you sing, sing. So I started singing a little regularly. This went on for about a month or two. And Swami came one day and asked me, do you know why I stopped you from singing? I said, no, Swami. He said, you talked too much. So, we were not chit-chatting when Swami was physically present there. But isn't Swami the all-knowing? Isn't He omnipresent? He tolerated us for a while. He gave a long rope, as we say. But He said, no, you talk too much. So that is the kind of discipline Swami expects. When we are singing for bhajans, we are either concentrating on Him or we are practicing bhajans. That is what He has.
During bhajans, usually the communication, apart the chit-chatting is of course, that aside, the only other communication that we probably need to do is conveying shrutis, right, indicating who's going to sing, that kind of thing. And for this, I remember an incident that was told to me by one of my elder brothers in the Sundaram Bhajan group. This was an instruction that Swami had given the Sundaram Bhajan group. It seems Swami said, have you seen when an ant bites you, when the ant bites your leg, your immediate reaction is your hand goes down and it brushes the ant away. Actually what happens, your nerve center there, that nerve feels that prick, it travels up to the brain tells your hand, this is what you have to do. Swami says, that is what is actually happening. But nobody can see that. The communication happens. That is how you should communicate during bhajans. Because our tendency is to indicate shrutis, 2, 2.5, 1.5, right? 6, 4, right? So Swami says, that is not how you indicate. You should indicate, even if you have to communicate, it should happen in such a manner that nobody should know that you are communicating. In fact, Ravi sir, we should talk about it. You know, there was this one particular song that he has patented, Sai Bin Rahana Jai. And Swami used to love that song so much, and he used to demand, on demand, you know, ask him to sing that song. But nobody except for sir and Swami would know that Swami has indicated that. I think sir should share that in detail.
Swami is a master at whatever he does. So, initial days, of course, he used to raise his hand there saying, which meant high bhajan, which was this kavali because it had some high lines. But eventually, over a period of time, it would just be a lift of the eyebrow. Which, thankfully, probably out of the 100 times, maybe once or twice I got it wrong. Probably I sang when I was not supposed to. But most of the time, Swami was such a master in making somebody like me understand with a raise of the eyebrow that that is a song he wanted. Nobody else sitting around me wouldn't. When I would turn back and tell the harmonium player, Silas sir or whoever was there, that sir, 1.5 or whatever, Shruti, for this, he'll say, oh, kavali. Because nobody else would have noticed. But that was the kind of communication that Swami would have one-to-one.
Yeah, and in fact, that's the beauty. Swami can actually communicate, isn't it? If there's one person who can actually communicate and we want him to communicate as vociferously, we want Swami. But even Swami, in the middle of bhajans, it would be just an eyebrow here, a finger there. He'll just probably clench his fist and that would be enough to convey that communication.
And then, talking about discipline, this other point is about Swami not liking the singers to contort their faces too much while singing. Yes, what happens is when we are involved in a lot of devotion and emotion, I think we lose control over what our facial muscles are doing. So, what happens is the face goes into a lot of grotesque contortions. Swami, in fact, spoke to one of my elder brothers in the bhajan group and he said, have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror when you are singing? He said, no, Swami. He said, go and do that. Because you're making so many faces, the one to whom you're praying, I don't think he's going to like that. You know? So, in fact, this brother went back, he sat, he saw the things he was doing with his face in front of the mirror, and he corrected that. He corrected that and went back, and Swami was obviously very pleased with him. So this is one thing we should avoid, making too many facial contortions. Yes, very true.
So that was Brother Ravi Kumar Amay and Siddhartha sharing their insights about bhajan singing during a national workshop in the Vrindavan Ashram in June 2013. And with that, we have reached the end of this episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did in presenting it to you. We are eager to hear from you, so please send your feedback as always to listener@radiosai.org. The sound engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background music was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. We offer this humble endeavor at the feet